The pencils are sharp. The brackets are ready. Your winners are selected, and the bets are on the table. That's right, it's time for March Mammal Madness. Where we pit the world's mightiest and even smallest mammals to see who will succeed and be crowned the best of the animal kingdom. Yeah. Here's Kristen Bry, Brian Noonan, and Rhea Riley.
All right, we have the final four. This is very, very exciting. When last we spoke, the Sweet 16 had been selected. Now we are down to the final four in the same and different... Well, first of all, Kristen, how is your bracket looking at this point?
Terrible.
Oh, no. What happened?
My narwhal died.
Oh.
Well...
You have the full story of what happened.
I do.
I had the narwhal winning the whole thing, and he is not in. I don't know why he's a he, but he did not make it to the final four.
All right. Well, wow. The Elite Eight ended up being the Galata versus the Sun Bear, the Attics versus the Puma, the Polar Bear versus the aforementioned narwhal, and the Ginkgo Riso versus the Gar, the Alligator Gar, which is a horrible-looking fish. So then it moved on to the elite trait. And in the first battle, the Ginkgo defeated the Alligator Gar in the randomly selected Sky Island Biosphere.
Okay.
Which means forested areas at high elevation surrounded by seas of desert scrub-dominated communities at lower levels. Well, here's the thing about that Ginkgo. In the higher elevations and in that area up there, the tree was unstable. Its roots, instead of going down and anchoring it into the earth, went sideways, so it was a little bit wobbly. At one point, that didn't matter because the alligator gar is a fish, and its gills are worthless up there.
Not a reptile, a fish.
It is a fish.
Okay.
And so at one point, listen to this, a vulture landed on the tree to eyeball the alligator gar, who was dying on the ground because his gills wouldn't work. The weight of the vulture tipped the tree over and crushed the alligator gar's skull. That is how...
That does not seem fair that they just get to introduce other animals and elements into the battle.
It's what is in that biosphere.
That there's a vulture that could land on the tree, then...
Well, listen, if you think that...
I like this fan fiction that these nerds come up with. And then this is going to happen!
The amount of science that I read in these recaps is amazing. All right, let's jump then. If you want to be mad about that, let's go to the polar bear versus the narwhal, which is in the tuxedo-style division. Their random biosphere was the high Arctic, which bodes well for both of them.
Right.
Should be good, right? Well, here's the problem. The narwhal is alone and afraid because orcas had been attacking the pod of narwhals.
Where'd the orcas come from? What I'm saying. It seems unfair that they just decided to introduce orcas into the situation.
But the orcas are swimming around the Barrow Narrow Strait. That's where they live. So orcas are there. And the narwhals are, the orcas are predators for narwhal.
Okay.
So the narwhal decides it's going to swim closer to the shore. Now, the polar bear, being a polar bear, in the Sweet 16, had killed a Cape buffalo and was sitting on the shore enjoying its feast. But since this is the time where they do a lot of feasting to fatten up, it was just chilling, watching this narwhal swim close to the shore until the narwhal got stuck on a mud flat. And that was when the polar bear went, "Oh, that's too bad for you, narwhal," and jumped in, chomped it up.
I don't appreciate that. Not that I had the narwhal winning, but I don't like that. How is he going to get ganged up on by both the orcas and the polar bear?
The orcas weren't there.
Well,
he was just afraid of the orcas.
That's not fair.
Well, listen, Rhea, Hakuna Matata. It's the circle of life. I'm mixing up two songs from the land.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that Hakuna Matata needs a circle of life.
No, that means
needs
no worries. Well, the polar bear has no worries because now he's got a narwhal and a buffalo to eat. Going to be all fattened up. The sun bear versus the galata in the geothermal wetlands. Oh, this one's even worse.
We know if it's gelata or galata?
I don't know.
It's like gif or
gelato.
Yeah.
It's a crazy looking monkey. That's what it is. So the sun bear is from a cold, was cold because it's used to being in warm weather. And up there in the geothermal wetlands, it's cold, except for around where the water is boiling in these little, little areas.
Hot springs?
A little hot springs and a little crust, a little thermal crust over it. Well, the gelada galata monkey doesn't care. He's chilling. The sun bear is trying to get near something that's warmer. So he heads toward the microclimate of the warm water. As he's walking, his paws crack the thin crust covering the boiling water. His back paw slips in and burns, but the sun bear regains its balance and starts slipping away toward a gully. Then the sun bear drops dead.
You know what? No.
Why? Hold on. Hold on. He drops dead because geothermal gas emissions had collected in the gully, creating lethally high pockets of carbon dioxide and hydrogen sulfide. It is called the Death Gulch, and it claimed him, so the gelada wins, and there are
so pictures. They didn't battle.
Yeah.
No, they didn't have to battle.
Okay.
Well, neither did the narwhal and the bear. Nobody's battled, really.
Yeah, I know. That's There's what it seems no like. Battle. There's no actual fighting.
No.
Nope. No
fighting. I want to see a match.
But there are pictures of other animals in this quote-unquote
death gulch. It seems like all of these, it's like, well, sorry, you drove the short end of the straw in this climate, and then we decided to arbitrarily invite other elements into this that the people filling out the bracket could never have expected. So,
again, these are randomly selected biospheres. And finally, the Attix versus the puma, they were in the temperate broadleaf forest. Now, the Attix isn't used to lush landscape. They're a desert animal. So, while the Attix did catch a whiff of the puma, who was in a tree just watching, because yesterday in the Sweet 16, he had gorged himself or herself on the saiga. Pumas only hunt every 6 to 10 days, so it was kind of taking a nap. It was relaxing. But the Attix got caught in azalea bushes with antlers, could not escape. When it finally broke free, it was still afraid of this puma, and it just ran away. So the Attix is a coward, and it just ran away, so the puma wins by default. So your final four, the gelada, the puma, the polar bear, and the tree that could fall and crush the polar bear's head. Except I'm still going with the polar bear to get to the championship.
Me too.
Because that tree, depending on, it's all going to depend on the luck of the draw and the biosphere.
That's fair. I think the tree's going to win. I'm actually kind of mad about this now.
So what do you have? I have one out of four. I have a puma going to the final four, and that's it.
I have two. I have the polar bear and the puma.
Same.
Going to the final four.
Yeah, right. I have the polar bear and the puma.
But I lose.
So the final four is the final four happens Monday.
Yep.
We will report on it Tuesday and give you a preview for the championship.
All right. Oh, so there's no actual brawls that have happened so far, but there was a real brawl.
This is great.
In Florida. That we're going to talk about on the other side of this. You are going to want to text Gator.
Gator.
If you want a preview.
Yes.
Gator to 855-616-1620. Talk about a mammal madness. Those are the reptiles. All right. We'll be back.
All right. We talked about the March Mammal Madness. You can text MAMMAL to 855-616-1620, the Sighting Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line, to get the brackets, the updates. But, Kristen, you saw footage of a real-life animal battle.
Yes. So I am still doing the weird thing where I'm waking up at, like, 3 a.m., and then I do the even stupider thing and then look at my phone when I can't go back to sleep, which is not helping anything. But sometimes you come across some gold. So I think I saw this on Instagram first. It is a video of a crocodile and an alligator battling it out in the Everglades National Park in Florida. So if you've ever wondered what it would look like for an alligator and a crocodile to snap at each other on land, they are not in the water, which I wonder if, again, I feel like they're less agile when they're on land versus in the water.
I
think you're in much bigger trouble in the water if you come across either of these animals than on land. And it's, you have to see the video to watch it. So if you text Gator, G-A-T-O-R, to 855-616-1620, we will send you the YouTube video of these.
It's crazy.
What's funny is, like, you do not want to get in the way of their jaw, right?
No.
But, like, besides that, they're kind of just these, like, roly-poly, slow-moving
Well, the crocodile is taller than I thought it would be. They both, it just looks like dinosaurs.
They're similar size, though.
They're similar size lengthwise and girthwise. The crocodile's legs are longer. Snout is narrower.
The alligator is more crawly on the ground versus... Yeah, they do look like dinosaurs, though.
Because they're doing
no
this
one dies.
Right in front
I should say that. Yeah, no one dies. Okay. And apparently they were fighting over a sunspot.
Yes.
Like where to bask in the sun. And so one of them does submit and goes back to the water.
And I can't tell. I wish the video had kept going because the one who submitted is being then chased, it looks like, by the other one. Like, this isn't over. You don't get to just run away. I'm going to finish the job. So we'll see. It's a reptile-on-reptile crime, and we love it.
All right, Gator to 855-616-1620. But first, ABC News and local headlines. It's Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Not a good opening day for the Brewers yesterday in New York.
Not what we wanted.
Nope. Fell to the Yankees 4-2. But, you know, that doesn't really count. Because real opening day is the home opener.
Yeah.
Which is Monday. You will be out.
I will be out there. I'll be out there. I think we're going to grade. We're not going to do a scavenger hunt.
Okay.
I decided. We switched it up, and instead, over the weekend, I'm going to come up with a rubric, like you had in elementary
sure,
school,
yeah.
of excellent, good, and unacceptable.
Oh,
and the categories are food, your food spread,
okay,
your beverage availability, equipment, so that's games, shelter of some sort, so a tent, chairs, and then attire. So now I have to come up with like what the inside the grid is going to be like, and then I'm gonna grade people.
Wow.
So maybe I won't make any friends, but...
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, so I'll be out there grading people's tailgates on Monday
in the snow. I will be, this is no surprise, I will be on Blue Mound Road, stopping by a few sports bars that are running big opening day specials, talking to fans, talking to the owners, finding out how many people actually throw up on the shuttle bus back from the game. So there's going to be a lot going on, and it's always exciting for opening day. I heard... I was online in some of these groups, and I was asking for recommendations for sports bars, and somebody said, you know what, opening day is not for the real fans. Opening day is just a time for people. And I was like, one, a jerk. And two, real fans are the ones who, like, you know, they've got season tickets. They're there all the time.
Yeah, they might also be there in July, but I'm pretty sure they're opening day.
Opening day is the day you got to go, especially this year. When there's special things planned for Bob Uecker. Did you hear Lane's call last night? The first home run by a Brewer, he did Uecker's call.
Oh.
His home run call. And it was great. So that was cool. And baseball is different than a lot of other sports because it's built on tradition. It's built on stories. It's there's legacy passed down from generation to generation. And last night on What's on Tap with Sandy Max, renowned Milwaukee actor James Pickering performed a poem/story that has become synonymous over the decades with baseball, Casey at the Bat, and we thought we would feature it here on Spanning the State.
Casey at the Bat by Ernest Lawrence Thayer. The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2 with but one inning more to play. And then when Cooney died at first and Barrows did the same, a sickly silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to that hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought, if only Casey could but get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did also Jimmy Blake, and the former was a Lulu, and the latter was a cake. So upon that stricken multitude grim melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey's getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single, to the wonderment of all, and Blake, the much despised, tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had settled and they saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe at second, and Flynn a hug in third. Then from 5,000 throats and more there rose a lusty yell. It rumbled through the valley, it rattled in the dell, it knocked upon the mountain and recoiled upon the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing and a smile on Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. Then while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance gleamed in Casey's eye. A sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in haughty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike one," the umpire said. From the benches black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of the storm waves on a stern and distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire!" shouted someone in the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him, had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stifled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher, and once more the spheroid flew. But Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two!" "Fraud!" cried the maddened thousands, and the echo answered, "Fraud!" But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain, and they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer is gone from Casey's lip. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go, and now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere. And somewhere, hearts are light. And somewhere, men are laughing. And somewhere, children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
Yeah, no joy in Mudville. That's James Pickering, a Milwaukee actor, renowned Milwaukee actor. If you want to hear it again, text Casey to the Saturday Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text line at 855-616-1620. All right, it's time for the game. In keeping with this weekend's festivities, we are going to play Brewers Trivia, not beer. The baseball team. Brewers Trivia. If you are callers 2 and 3 at 855-616-1620, you will play for valuable prizes here on Spanning the State. Callers 2 and 3, 855-616-1620.
Come on down!
How fun!
I'm ready!
Pick me, pick me, pick me.
Put on your thinking caps. It's time for the Ha Ha Friday Funtime Grandiloquent Game Show. Put your hands together and welcome your quizmasters, Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
Let's play.
Yeah, let's play ball. It is opening day weekend, and the Brewers' home opener is Monday. You can catch all the coverage here on WTMJ. We're going to have people out and about. Kristen's going to be in the parking lot. I'm going to be at bars. What a surprise. But today, we are playing Brewers Trivia on the game. Let's meet our players, shall we? First, it's Robert. He's in New Berlin. Hey, Robert.
Hey, good afternoon, Brian. Nice to talk to you. Yeah, thank you.
Good to have you with us. Are you a Brewers fan?
Yes, I'd like to think so. Right.
All right. That was the most unequivocal answer I've had, Robert, but I like it. It's, you know, you're not sure.
Okay, yes.
All right, there you go.
Yes.
Well, let's see if you're a bigger fan than Bobby. He's in Manitowoc. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing? Go Brew Crew.
Yeah, there
you go, Bobby. So, Bobby, you're a big fan. What are you doing for opening day?
I'm hoping my buddy Ed McMahon invites me to the game. He's a season ticket holder, so
all right,
I'm hoping.
Ed, get on it.
Ed, yeah, Ed, come on. Bobby's wanting to do it. All right, gentlemen, here's how the game is going to be played. We're going to ask you a question. It has to do with the Brewers. If you get it right, you get a point. First 1 to 5 correct answers, or whoever is leading when time runs out, will be our winner. Robert and Bobby, are you ready to play?
Sure.
All right.
Let's go Brew Crew.
Let's do it. All right, Robert, first question. The Milwaukee Brewers were originally from which city? Washington, D.C., Portland, St. Louis, or Seattle?
Oh, that would be Seattle.
Got it.
That would be Seattle. Look at Robert. Robert for being so sketchy with his fandom answer. Now he got his first one right. All right, Bobby, that's how the game's played. Here we go. We come to you. What was the name of the Seattle franchise that moved to Milwaukee to become the Brewers? Were they the Admirals, the Mariners, the Pilots, or the Mountaineers?
The Pilots.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, my goodness,
all right,
barn burner.
Robert, who was the Brewers' first-round draft pick in 1973? Was it Paul Molitor, Robin Yount, Gorman Thomas, or Cecil Cooper?
In 1973,
yes,
Robin Yount. Got it. Wow. You're not screwing around today.
Right. Oh, these guys mean business. It's going to take a stumble, I think. All right, let's see. Here we go. Bobby, which Brewer led the team in hits in 1982? Was it Paul Molitor, Ben Ogilvie, Cecil Cooper, or Robin Yount?
Robin Yount.
All right.
Wow. Okay. Here we go.
Robert, who was the first pitcher from the Brewers to pitch a no-hitter? Was it Don Sutton, Juan Nieves? What? Did you know it without me finishing the options?
So, no, sorry. That was me, Bobby.
Was it Don Sutton, Juan Nieves, Teddy Higuera, or Pete Vukovich?
That'd be Juan Nieves, yep. I believe.
It is.
Robert, you believe it.
This is the best game I think we've ever had as far as everyone getting everyone right.
These guys are getting all of these right. All right. Bobby, we're back to you. The Brewers played at Miller Park in 2003. What was the name of the old stadium that the Brewers played in from 1970 to 2000? Was it the Milwaukee Ballpark?
Milwaukee County Stadium.
Didn't even need it. Didn't even need it.
I say, Kristen, since we're all tied, this will not help anybody. We stop giving the multiple choice.
Well, we also don't have much time left. All right, so we're going to go. We're going to go right into it, Robert. On July 20th, 1976, which legendary home run hitter hit his last home run in Milwaukee?
That'd be Hank Aaron.
Okay.
All right, Bobby. Here we go. Which Milwaukee Brewer player was a runner-up for AL Rookie of the Year in 1978?
Oh, dang. Runner-up. Paul Molitor.
Oh, my God,
oh my gosh! It is correct. All right, we've got time. We're going to do a toss-up. What you'll have to do, gentlemen, once you know the answer, shout out your name. Do not give the answer until you are called on. Get ready to shout out your name. Here we go. How many current MLB teams, including the Brewers, have never won the World Series?
Robert. I think it's 5.
Oh!
No, that is incorrect. All right.
Bobby, you got a guess?
Bobby, chance?
4?
Ooh! It is 6, gentlemen. 6. We go to the judge. Rhea, we have to end in a tie. Are we going to do it like youth soccer? Is everybody getting a prize today?
I think we could do it. Everybody gets
everybody
a
gets a prize.
Honor,
I've never seen this happen before. As far
you.
As everyone, you guys knocked it out of the park.
Everybody
pun intended.
Wins. Go Brew Crew on behalf of the Brewers. Congratulations. Thank you for playing the game. Robert and Bobby, stay on the line. Rhea will get all your information.
Hey.
You have won a WTMJ prize back.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Bobby. Go Brew Crew.
All right,
guys.
Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Let's do this. Then we'll start wrapping it up on Spatty the State.
I believe it's time for me to fly.
All right. It
That's
indeed.
It.
I'm going to enjoy this 72-degree weather.
Yeah, I got to get out.
After it was storming this morning. Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be beautiful. Beautiful. Have a great weekend. We will talk. Well, we won't talk to you Monday, but the Brewers will talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
See ya.